Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Mark chapter 16. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. They watched him die. He whom they had confessed as their Lord was abused and mocked, whipped and nailed to a cross where he suffered and died. His dying words radiated life, but to look at him you would have seen only weakness and shame. And that's why we hid our faces from him, why he was despised and we did not esteem him. His words contained forgiveness and hope, but his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He who had promised life was dying the most shameful death. By the time he was dead, his disciples had mostly abandoned him. They huddled in fear, feeling sorry for themselves. The women went to the tomb early Sunday morning, as soon as the Sabbath was over, to see a dead man and show him the respect that he had been denied in his life. But looking for death, they found life, and that made them afraid. Strange how people react. The angel's encouragement to tell Jesus' disciples of his resurrection from the dead only left them mute in fear. When Mary Magdalene told them that Jesus had risen from the dead, they didn't believe her. They should have believed her. The Bible said he would die and rise from the dead. David the psalmist wrote Christ's words in Psalm 16, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." They should have believed. Jesus himself had foretold his death and resurrection several times. He told the disciples he would meet them in Galilee. What Mary told them was in perfect harmony with the written and spoken word of God. They should have believed her. It wasn't as if Mary was spinning tales out of her own imagination. She was quite frightened at the empty tomb. She didn't run off to tell the disciples on her own. On her own, she would likely have kept it all inside. But she was told to tell them, and she did as she was told. Mary wasn't a preacher, but God's angel told her and the other women to tell the preachers that Jesus had risen from the dead. Preachers don't know everything. Christians should encourage the preachers in their preaching, and those preachers were as discouraged as any group of preachers has ever been. Their Lord was dead, they had run away and denied him, and now they were lost. Grief at one's own sin and failure is impotent. You are powerless as grief binds you in confusion and denial. It's painful. That's why folks deny sin and rationalize away their failures. The grief of guilt is the last kind of grief they want to face. There can be comfort at a loss of money, position, or health. You can at least make yourself out to be a victim and find a bit of comfort in self-pity. But when you know that you have gone back on your own word and broken loyalty, you feel a pain that nothing less than divine forgiveness will take away. Mary spoke as a pious Christian woman to these men. She knew the power of God's love in Christ. Jesus had delivered her from demon possession. She loved him and trusted him. She was the first person to whom he appeared after he rose from the dead. Sorrow and confusion gave way to joy and understanding. But when she shared her joy at his resurrection with his closest disciples, they did not believe. With so much confusion swirling around the ministry of the word, with reactions reacting against reactions and setting brothers up as opponents in battles that should never have been fought, it is good for us to pay close attention to what God said to Mary Magdalene. Both the angel and Jesus told Mary to tell the disciples that he had risen from the dead. The angel was a messenger of God. Jesus was God. God tells laymen to tell people the gospel. You don't need a call from the church to tell people the gospel. You need only the call God gave you when he baptized you and joined your name to his name. In St. John's Gospel, we learn that it was when the crucified and risen Lord Jesus called Mary by name that she knew him. Then she told the disciples what she knew. When God calls you by name in holy baptism, he tells you to tell people the gospel. The establishment of the preaching office does not take away from the laity that privilege. It cannot. Jesus died and rose from the dead. We come to faith by dying and rising from the dead. From faith we confess. We confess him who died for our sins and rose again. The faithful preacher preaches him who died for our sins and rose again. Preachers are no more faithful than the laity. The preachers were mourning and weeping over Christ's death, and when Mary told them of his resurrection from the dead, they didn't believe her. Jesus later rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. He rebuked them, but he sent them out to preach. The call to preach the forgiveness of sins was a form of absolution, just as it was for Peter personally, as recounted by St. John near the end of his gospel. When Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, he wasn't making him the first pope. All of the preachers received the same command and the same absolution implicit in it. All preachers are equal because they all preach the same thing, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. While there have always been preachers, Jesus gave the preaching office to his church after he suffered and died to take away the sin of the world. The gospel the preachers are to preach is the gospel of Christ's death. Only the death of Christ can take away sin and death. No other gospel can give the forgiveness of sin. Since Christ's death takes away sin, his resurrection is God's absolution of sinners. He was delivered up to suffer on the cross because of our offenses. He was raised from the dead because of our justification. This is what Christ's death and resurrection mean, and this is what Jesus sent out his preachers to preach. It is as the sin-bearer who has fully borne away the sin of all people that Jesus sends out the preachers to preach the gospel. Then he ascends into heaven. Jesus rules over all creation at the right hand of God the Father. He governs this world for the benefit of his holy Christian church on earth. He demonstrated his power over all things by the signs that followed the preaching and believing of his gospel. In his name they cast out demons. They spoke languages they had never learned. They were bitten by poisonous snakes and survived. The apostles healed the sick, raised the dead, and confirmed by miraculous signs the truth of the gospel they preached. By raising himself from the dead, Jesus proved he was the Son of God. By raising his Son from the dead, the Father absolved the human race. The historical fact of Jesus' death is confirmed by witnesses who saw his corpse. John witnessed blood and water flow out of his side. His body was cold and dead. The historical fact of Jesus' resurrection is confirmed by witnesses as well. Reliable witnesses saw him, heard him, touched him, ate with him, and confirmed that the same Jesus who died on Good Friday walked out of Joseph's tomb on his own power on Easter Sunday. The historicity of Christ's death and resurrection was the basis for the gospel the preachers preached. Indeed, when St. Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he does so primarily by setting forth the historical facts of his death, resurrection, and the overwhelming eyewitness testimony confirming its truth. The signs that followed the apostolic preaching of the gospel simply confirmed what had already been confirmed by eyewitnesses. The gospel and baptism save. So says Jesus. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. He says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He will be rescued from his own sin and guilt. His sins will be forgiven, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will have a real life to live. He will be set free from the power of the devil and will live under God's grace. The gospel tells us that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, since he suffered for us and died, bearing our sins in his body. Our baptism washes away our sins by Jesus' blood. We are no longer burdened by guilt. Christ rules over us. The gospel will be preached to sinners by sinful preachers in this sinful world until the end of time. By it, the King of Kings reigns. The baptism, despised by rationalists and sectarians of every description, is our own personal guarantee that the one whom the winds and waves obey, who died for us and rose again, forgives us all our sins and claims us as his own. He rules at the right hand of God, governing all things by the word of his power, in order to protect us from the assaults of temptation, the fear of death, and the power of despair. I suppose it would be nice to see him as Mary saw him, as the disciples saw him, as over 500 brothers at one time saw him, alive from the dead, demonstrating to our eyes the truth of his promises. But it is far better to believe than to see. And for faith, we need the gospel. We need the sacraments. We need the church. She's not so impressive looking. She must bear the same shame in this world that her Savior bore. But he reigns, and he reigns through his church. So we will seek out the pure preaching of the gospel and the right administration of Christ's sacraments, and we will find Christ, his true church, forgiveness of our sins, peace for our souls, and eternal life in heaven. Amen. We thank you for being with us on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We invite you to the services of our parish. Divine service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First American Lutheran in Mayville, at 1015 Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 1145 First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.